the original novel. All right, this is it. Unfortunately, we are reaching the end of the line for Shimshon. That point at the end where he eats that rancid food in the street, in the gutter. So, Tazayim. Vayera Shimshon Azasa Vayasham Isha Zono Vayavoe Leha. Again, he has these issues. He goes to Aza and he meets a woman who is a Zona. As usual, the Targum translates as an innkeeper, and he moves into her inn. La'aza sim le'mor, bo shimshon heina v'yasovu v'yaruvro kol ha'layla v'shar ha'ir v'yishorshu kol ha'layla l'mor ad or boker v'haragnuhu. Word comes out on the street that Shimshon is in town, and the members of Aza, Aza being one of the Plishti cities, decides that that's it, morning's going to come, we're locking the gates so no one can get out, and in the morning we've got him caught in the city and we're going to kill him. So what did Shimshon do? Vayishkav Shimshon ad chatzi ha'layla, vayyokum b'chatzi ha'layla, vayachoz b'daltos shar ha'ir b'shtei mezuzos, vayisoim im habriach, vayosim al ksefa, vayalem al rosh ahar, asher al p'nei chavron. So they thought they had him locked in. Rather, he grabs the gate by the two doorposts, lifts it up whole, and walks out with the gates of the city, and plants them on a hill outside of Hebron. So much for that plan.
So the inn was where, Rabbi?
What?
This
woman's inn. So, it, you know, it's not, you think
Gaza,
about it.
Gaza, the city of Gaza.
Right. It's Gaza.
Gaza. It's always been a
problem. Gaza has always been a problem. That is true.
With her, for a meaningful relationship?
I don't know how meaningful it was. But it does seem that they did have a relationship.
Uh-huh.
It's not for me to judge the level of meaning.
Okay.
Interesting, I'll just note in the Pasuk that we just read, Pasuk Gimel, it says two times, Chatzi ha'layla, Vayi b'chatzi ha'layla. What does that remind you of?
The Megillah. But, who's got it? Oh, Balayla Ahu, it says
Balayla. Right. Right. So again, but in Pesach it says it's interesting. Rav Chaim Kinyevsky has a sefer on various topics, including sefer Shoftim, and he quotes the Rokeach in Rus says Vayakum b'chatzi alayla leil Pesach haya. Now this in fact happened on the night of Pesach. We traditionally have a long list of items that happened on Pesach that we say at the very end in Yirtzah. And on the other night we say, "Va martem zevach Pesach." And both of them we have these long.
You're not supposed to wear a kippah on Pesach night because Shimshon could not have lifted all the gates wearing the kippah; would have made it dirty.
It's true. Okay, it's hard to argue with logic like that.
Yes, exactly. This is why I don't wear a kippah on Pesach night. The kippah is very binding.
Right.
Yes.
So, oh, that's the problem, and everything else is fine and dandy besides that. Right. So it's interesting to note that point. All right, moving right along. Now we meet somebody that we've been waiting for. So he goes. He again ruins the gates of Aza. And now, once again, he's looking for another relationship, as Marsha would say. He meets a woman, her name was Delilah.
The translation here, for the first time translated, as he loved her, that he loved the woman in the valley.
Yes.
So is this the first time?
Well, let's look back. I think, how about that woman that he married?
I'm going to call it saying that.
That's all right. I think if we go back to, where was it? Yudalad?
I don't remember which.
Now let's take a look. You say this is the first time that love gets involved in this.
Yes, I'm wondering. Well, he was very insistent with his parents that he wanted her, but I don't remember.
Right, I don't think love was spoken about.
Because Yashara. Okay.
How do you translate that?
Straight, literally. Right.
Got it.
Okay. Interesting. Finds favor. Duly noted. Okay. Let's take a look at the Gemara in Sota. Rabbi Amitchiras Kilkul also Ba'aza Raficha Raka Ba'aza. All the problems happened in Gaza. He started making troubles. Ultimately, he's going to end up in trouble in Gaza. Kilkul of Gaza Diksev Vayashim Shon Azasa Vayar Shav Isha Zona Raficha Raka Ba'aza Diksev Vayari Dehu also Azasa. That eventually, when he gets caught, they're going to take him back to the city of Gaza. Even though he had troubles in Timna, the beginning was in Gaza. Okay, now, her name was Delila. Tanya Rabbi Yomer, El Mali Ro Nikrishma Delila, Ruya Haisa Shatikrish Delila. That in the event that even if her name wasn't Delilah, she should have been called Delilah. Dildalas kolcha, dildalas libo, dildalas masa. Because she weakened him. She weakened his strength, she weakened his heart, she weakened his actions. Dildalas kolcha, diksiv, ayasa kolcha me'erov. Because he weakened his strength, as we see. Eventually, when she cuts his hair, that his strength leaves him. Dildalas libo, diksiv, teo dalaira ki higidla as kol libo. His heart was weakened, and he told her the secret of his strength. And in fact, she caused the Spirit of God to leave him. Okay. Who was this woman, Delila? I've never seen this until around 2 weeks ago for the first time I saw the source. Very fascinating. One of those, I couldn't believe it, and you probably won't either. Delilah Shakara Kosov Stam Isha. He says, this woman, Delilah, she just referred to as the woman, nearly borrowed the Haisam Yisrael. Person writes that I see for sure that this woman was Jewish. The Chaimam, the Isha Tayyaraba. How do you see that? Because it seems that they were actually married. Shinemar Benazir Kebal Delilah, the Nikras Bala, because the Gemara refers to them as husband and wife. On the other hand, he says that there is a second apartment. There's a second opinion which indicates that because he had a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, that led to his downfall, indicating that she was not Jewish. So there's an interesting discussion. I didn't even realize this was a discussion that perhaps she was Jewish.
Okay. But she had all these Philistine relatives.
She hung with them. They're relatives. So, speaking of the Philistines. Vayala ilar samni plishtin vayomala pati osover iba merkocha gadol menucha olo vasar nuhu la noso vanachna nitan roch ish elaf mea kesef. So the officers from plishtin said, if you could find out how to beat this guy, each and every one of you of us will give you 1,100 silver coins. Okay, so she's in. Vayomer Delila El Shimshon, Hagida Nori, Vamechochacha Gadol Vemeitei Asar Anosecha. So she says, tell me, how come you're so strong? How could someone beat you? Vayomer Elea El Shimshon Im Yasruni B'Shiva Yisorim Rachim. If you tie me up in 7 wet strings that did not dry, then in fact I could not be beaten.
Like we'll
get to you. So they provide her with these 7 strings, and she ties it up, and then they're waiting in the next room, and she yells out. He jumps up, tears these to shreds as if they were burnt, and in fact, it's like nothing.
Tell me what
You're lying to me. You're playing with me. You're toying with me. Come on, tell me the truth. He says, all right, here's the truth. Here's the truth, okay? Listen to this one. He tied me up with ropes that were never ever used before. Fresh ropes, then I'd never be able to get out. Snicker, snicker. So she ties them up, they're waiting on the side, and then she yells out, "Oh, the plishtim are coming!" Tears are like a string. Nothing.
I didn't realize something wrong here.
Something is awry, you would say. Now, of course, Vatomer Dril Shimshon. She said, "Oh, come on, tell me the truth." He says, "All right, here's the story. If you take my hair, right, the 7 curls of hair that I have, and you tie them to the wolf, what, the shuttle, that's the word, the shuttle that you put through the... Well, it's the shuttle you tie it to.
The shuttle goes back and forth.
Right, well, you're tying it to the shuttle.
Okay, that seems weird too, but hey.
Then forget it. All right. Vatiska v'yasei v'atoba. Elav p'rishtim alech ha'shim tov yikas v'shalom v'yases ha'yasei da'oreg v'asamaseches. He rips the thing apart. V'atoba elav. Eich toma avtich v'ribcho ein yiti zeh shalosh pe'amim he'salpi. Oh, he said, "How am I supposed to believe you believe me if you keep on making up these wacky stories and I keep on falling for it? Come on, tell me the truth." And she nagged him, and she nagged him, and she nagged him to the point that he just wanted to die.
Okay, that's what
you
wanted to do.
Okay, finally. Vayagid lo es kol libo. He spilled his guts. Vayomer lo moro lo ola roshi kinizir elokim animi betem imi. I've never gotten a haircut because I've been a nazir from the time that I was in utero. Im gorachti v'somi menikochi v'chalisi v'yisi kachol ha'adam. In the event that you shave my head, then I'll be like any person. Yes. I don't think so. I think he was
regular.
I mean, he was probably a pretty broad guy, I would think.
44 short.
Right. Right. I think like Officer Vinny would be the way to say it, but with less tattoos.
Okay.
So.
Vinny, I don't know if he has that. Who was that, Tom? Officer Tom.
Okay, good. I'm glad we clarified that for the people in internet land. That's right. The Akedas Yitzchak, Yitzchak Araba, has it's a famous sefer on Chumash. Even though it's officially on Chumash, it's really more of a philosophical work. And he steps up and he explains what's been going on here. What's with the ropes? What he says, and besides everything else, why did I need this story? Why did I need to know every lie that he told her? Right? Why doesn't it just say, you know, once, twice, three times he made up stories, and finally, you know, he caved.
Also, that the Philistines were there to get him and never worked.
He didn't catch on.
Right. What's with him?
Well, again, they were always in the other room. They didn't.
Well, the first time she calls him.
Keeps yelling,
right, because they're testing him, not because they. Right. That's he didn't know that the Philistines were there. So.
Yeah.
So the Akedas Yitzchak sees this entire story as an important parable. So there is something that is being alluded to in the story of Shimshon and Delilah. Interesting, he refers to him as his wife. So the only reason it was written is to teach us the following lesson. If there's nothing to learn from this, why bother going through the entire the wet ropes, the new ropes? Who needs it? Begam ki lo rechavet uvorol yeser nazirim. It's not like, of course, this is something that's a great honor to Shimshon or to anyone else, this whole story. But aniach she yeh Shimshon ramez lo kol adam. He says, Shimshon actually is every man. V'dalil ishto el hachomer hara nifzad medal da kuchuk v'roso. And Delilah represents basically the Yetzer Hara. You know, that in fact weakens a person's resolve. Kamo shomo roma koshma Delilah shedildla asribo v'dildla asrucha v'dildla askocha. As we said, that's what she represents. Hoysha she'eros v'chakiris asotam v'yetzer hara lo v'may yosar kocha mimenu. The Yetzer Hara wants to know, how do you weaken a person? So there are four possibilities. What are they? What are the seven wet ropes that haven't ever dried? That's youth. Youth is a time when the body hasn't begun to dry out yet. There's a lot of strength. A person, when they're young, acts in a way that there is no way of, there is no control. There are no limitations. And the person acts in a way that they don't really care for their physical well-being necessarily, right? They'll do things that are extremely risky, both physically and, in fact, also spiritually. And that's one possible. That's one of the potential pitfalls in life. Youth.
Why wet streams? Why is that? Why that metaphor?
Well, because the idea is that as we get older, the body dries out.
Okay.
Right. So therefore, youth is a time where there is much moisture. There you go. But the truth of the matter is that's not going to do a person in. Everybody goes to youth. Most people make it out on the other side. Because the bottom line is everybody grows up at some point, and whatever mistakes a person might have made during youth may be published at one point in a festschrift, but overall you probably end up okay on the other side. I think that's a direct quote from here. That ultimately, you might have gone through some bumpy years, but at the end of the day, the person ends up okay. The person's not ruined. The next thing is the unused ropes. These are new ideas. Every generation has new ideas that haven't been tested. New ideas, great ideas that people are going to go follow. Also, there's danger in new ideas. If all the previous generations did something else, they probably did it for a reason. But it's inevitable that every generation runs after new ideas. So he says, the bottom line is, for a certain amount of time, people will be interested in these ideas. But all fads, they come and they go. Ultimately, you'll get involved whatever you get involved with, but one day you'll wake up and you say, I wore bell bottoms. Why would I have ever wanted to do that?
Because they were cool.
Right? That's the idea, the new ideas. No one's ever done it before. It must be a great idea, right? Yeah, you know,
not always.
So that's another challenge. Those are the new ropes, the new untested ropes. Again, it's a potential pitfall, but it's not going to do people in. What's next? Take my hair and tie it up.
We flowers in.
Who remes kava estabchus hadasu bilbo b'inyanu asherahem here hurei rosh machavosav. That's strange ideas that people come up with. Right? That your head gets a little twisted in that. Shehem uravim esubachim imeseches bilbo shashichruso. That ends up getting tied up in this idea that you think is very important. But eventually you wake up and you realize, no. And a person finds their way back. In all these cases, eventually Shimshon wakes up. He wakes up from the ropes, he wakes up from the wet ropes, the new ropes, the hair. Every case he wakes up and he finds himself back where he started. Amnam kasher naga berosh nizro, v'am nazar kimani mebetim imi, v'im galachti v'somi meni kochi. But when you start cutting at that, the very essence of the person, that from the time that I was born, this is who I am, I was. And now if you cut that away, if you take away a person's connection, there's no waking up. When you wake up, it's not the same anymore. If someone cuts off the connection to what was, that's when all is lost. Hine oz kasher goleach sham nafal shadud ki timei rosh nizro umishratzinu alav. So that's it. When that happens, there is no turning back. So that's the idea of the story of Shimshon. This is really a parable. That at first he says, you know, this could do me in, that could do me in. And all of that, it didn't really matter. There's always the opportunity to wake up and have God with him once again. Once he cut off the hair, that is the message. When you cut off, there is no turning back. Correct.
But so where do we see him in league with God in this story?
Oh, for sure. If you remember at the very beginning, it was very, very, very clear. Right?
But when he starts having interaction,
God is clearly with him. He on his own wasn't killing thousands of people with a jawbone.
I get that, but it doesn't feel like he's connected with the Jews much at all. And
again, he is the shofet. That's pretty
connected. But
So that's, now she tells him this one, and she understands that this is the real deal. This is it. She can tell. All right.
Delilah.
Hey, Yud Ches, 18.
Didn't she live near the Fishtins, between the Jews and the Fishtins?
I think she was living with the Fishtins.
More she lived with them than with the Jews.
The
Jews didn't accept her then?
Right, on 3rd Avenue in Jersey. She lived with the Fishmen. Rented the other house from Paul and Susie. Yerches, vatere delira ki hi gibra es kol ribo, vatishrach vatikro sarnei plishtim leimor. Alu hapam ki hi gibra li es kol ribo, valu ala sarnei plishtim vayirub hakesu biyadam. She said, this one's for real. Come with banker's checks. Because how did she know? So go back to number 2. The Gemara wants to know. How did she know? Vatere, so 3 lines up from the bottom. Vatere d'ler ki gilas kol ribo. Minna yada. How did you know? Amar Rav Chanin, Amar Rav, nikarim divrei emes. Rav Chanin said, you can tell. You can just tell when someone's telling the truth. Abayome yada kbo osa tzashro mapik shem shamayim levatala. When he mentioned the name of God, he doesn't mention that for nothing. Where did he mention the name of God? The Amar Nazir Elohim Ani.
A Nazir to God.
Right. So again, the fact that he mentioned God's name, that was for real. In fact, the Sefer HaChinuch in number 5 picks up on that, gives you an idea of how big a deal it is, the name of God. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, Sarach HaAdam LaHazir Ma'od Mihazkir Brachu V'Tala. Never make a Brachu V'Tala. We spoke about that a little bit between Mincha and Ma'ariv. You mention the name of God for no reason, that's a terrible sin. It's what's very related to one of the Ten Commandments. To give you an idea of how careful they were, that Shimshon married a woman, that he a Philistine woman from Nachal Sorek, but Yizar kol kach b'azkaras Hashem, even though he was married to a Shiksa, he still would never mention the name of God for no reason, and she knew it. Right? The fact that she knew if he's going to mention it, that's for real. Shemu aleh, ki nazir alakim ani. Kamosha Kosavakra Teradraki Gidlas Koli Bamu Khachamal Minayadad Miham Shamru Nikarim Divayamas, or one possibility. Umehem Shamru Ashiski Shimshan Elo Kim Bitoch Tavarav Afa Pishaoma Derek Shua Elo Derek Sipor. So this is a big deal to mention God's name. Obviously it had to be true. Yud Tes. Vati Yashneu al Birkel, Vatikra Ish, Vatigla, Hasheva Machala, Fos, Rosho, Vatachala, Nosova, Yasar Kochan Erov. And with that, they cut off his 7 curls of hair, and with that, his strength was gone. Vatomer, Plishna Lecha Shimshon, Vayakets Mishna So, Vayomer, Eitse Kapamba, Famvi Noir, Uyoda Kiyad, Noisar Meelov. And when they say, Shimshon, the Philistines are coming, he says, I'm going to beat them again, but he didn't realize that God had left him. And with that, the Plishtim grabbed him, they poked out his eyes, they took him down to Aza in chains, and he was literally tochen, he was grinding wheat in the prison. I give you a very large piece in English here. You will note.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Rav Soloveitchik again sees this as being a very strong parable for everybody. This is in the Machzer, we have it in the library, that they put out for Yom Kippur of Rav Soloveitchik. He says, regarding sin, analogy is made to sleep. Sleep is an absolute passive state in which man is pure object. The insistent demand of the shofar, according to the Rambam, is the imperative to awaken oneself. When he is awake, man can protect himself and control his environment, but he is powerless when sleeping. A biblical account making the equation of sin with sleep is found in the incident of Samson and Delilah. Samson had a unique personality fundamentally different from the other national leaders or judges of his time. All the other judges, Devorah, Barak, Gideon, and Yiftach, were great leaders of the people. They led armies to war and were fine strategists. They could be categorized as leaders or commanders. However, only Shimshon is called mighty. He acted against his enemies as a solitary figure. He needed no one to support him in his battles. The account of the book of Judges emphasizes the terror that Shimshon struck in the hearts of the Philistines. Physical strength alone, however, is inadequate to explain this reaction on the part of his enemies. One individual, no matter how strong, could never defeat thousands of people on the basis of physical might alone. The power of Samson over his enemies emanated from a deeper psychological source. His unique ability stems from a dynamic spiritual personality, a personality in confrontation paralyzed others. His enemies did not understand the power that he held over them, and they asked Delilah to ascertain the secret. Yet when Samson fell asleep in the lap of Delilah, he was suddenly transformed. He lost his role as subject and became object. The stunning tragedy of this transformation was that Samson's total lack of awareness that this stage had even taken place. After his fateful sleep, he woke up and says, I will go out to fight like every other time. But he did not know that Hashem had departed from him. The lack of awareness that one has lost his dynamic personality is the ultimate tragedy of all sinners. Sometimes Delilah is a vulgar type of beauty. Sometimes she is as a community. Sometimes a political system will search for Hedon. Every generation has its own temptation that reduces the individual to the level of object. What therefore is tshuva in contrast to sin? It is the ascent as opposed to descent. Through sin, one becomes an object, while tshuva allows one to begin to become a subject. Through sin, man is acted upon, while through tshuva, man can act once again. Through sin, he is a thing, while through tshuva, he becomes a person. Through sin, gravity overwhelms, while through tshuva, gravity is overcome. When Israel sinned, gravity overcame Moses, who could no longer support the first set of tablets. When Israel then returned in tshuva, gravity was overcome and the second tablets were indeed held high. I give you a footnote here as well. Again, same source, where the editor says as follows. The Rav used the story of Samson's unawareness of his loss of strength as an analogy to the state of Israel's reaction during Yom Kippur War of 1973. In the initial days of the world, hubris resulted in the belief that the war would be won in a few short days, similar to the Six-Day War of 1967. Only after the war became extended and the news of the battlefield losses mounted was there even an awareness of vulnerability. The Rav stated that the Delilah in this case of the state of Israel was the wiser belief in the land of Israel without the God of Israel. Those are
heavy
words. But once again, as far as we're concerned, the focus here is the idea that, again, to a certain extent, Shimshon is not just the individual, but Shimshon is every person, right? To the extent that, again, a person falls asleep, not literally sleeping here referring to, but rather, shall we say, is more asleep at the wheel. And that, of course, leads to a person falling to the point that they don't even recognize it, as was the case here with Shimshon. Interesting question, you know, I figured I'd throw this in because it's in a pretty good source, and it's a pretty interesting question. Why can't all Nazirim kill thousands of people?
Do what he did.
So that question was asked of Rav Avram ben Arambam, and he published his answer. He says, Shel yamdeinu rabbeinu, map. If what's giving him the strength is the hair and the Nazirus, so why doesn't anybody who has the Nazirus have the strength? No, this was a special case. If you want to become strong, go to the gym together with Tony or Vinny, then you will be strong, and Eric, right? But if you, being a Nazir, that's not the way to do it. That's what he writes. Says that no, that Naziris, this is an exception to the rule. We mentioned in the pasuk that it says that he, in fact, was grinding wheat in the prison. Why? What's going on with that?
Well, don't animals usually do that?
So the Gemara in Sota has a very different understanding. But he tochim beveis haasurim, number 8, Amar of Yochanan, in tchina el rashon aveira. Chin omer titchon acher ishti maramesh kol echad ve'echad hevi ro es ishto beveis haasurim chishis aver himenu. Translation. In fact, they put him out to stud. Every of the Plishtim brought their wives to be with Shimshon in order that they should have such strong sons. How did that work? The Chasam Sofer quotes a Medrash, which in fact I do not know the source for it, even though they give a source here, that's not it. Yisbe Medrash, the Hainu Orpa Nivala Shimshon Bevesa Asur V'yolda Golias. That in fact, Orpah, the sister of Rus, went to be with Shimshon, and she had a son whose name was Goliath, which means Goliath's father was
Shimshon.
Go, no, learn something new every day.
So she lived. Where
is
this?
She was a Moabite, actually.
So where's the source of
this? This is number 9. That is the Chasam Sofer writes that in his commentary on the Haftorah Parshas Naso, which happens to be this story. What is the primary source? That's a good question. I have found earlier sources in the Targumim. I've found that there are Targumim that have this story in it. So that is the earliest source that I know of it. I actually spent some time looking into it, and that's what I found. And guess what? His hair started growing back. And they had a great party. They said, oh, wow, Dagon, our God, has given over Samson to us. Let's bring sacrifices to Dagon, the fish guy. And they were saying, boy, our God is great because he gave over to us our enemy, the one who was destroying our cities, the one who was killing our people. And So they went and they brought him out to have some fun with him. And eventually he was resting between the pillars. And so do me a favor, can you put me next to the pillars that are sustaining the entire building so I can rest?
And he asked a little child to do that.
Right, so, well, what could possibly be bad about that idea? And the place was full. Just on the roof, there were 3,000 people. The entirety of all the leaders of Plishtim were there as well. He cries out, God, remember me this one final time and let me get at least revenge for one of my eyes on the Plishtim. With that, he grabs the two pillars, one in his right hand and one in his left hand. Vayomer Shimshon, Tomos Nafshi and Plishtim. Vayet Bekoach, Vayipol Abayas, Alasranim, Valkol Amasher Bo, Vayu Amesim, Ashehemis Bemoso, Rabbi Me Ashehemis Bechayev. And with that, he brings the building. He says,
I.
What he prays, it sounds like he pushed.
He
brought the house down, quite literally. And he says, let me die with the Philistines. And he killed many more people in his death than he did during his life.
Two obvious questions about
that. Yes.
One, how did he kill himself?
All?
Or suicide?
Obvious question number one.
And the other one I was thinking about is, how does he ask to do revenge? The whole reason why he got punished was obviously
doing something inappropriate. So now he's asking, let me have revenge. But that was a punishment. So I don't see the second question as obvious as the first.
The whole reason why he got his eyes poked out was because of the whole incident with this woman. That's why he's punished. So
okay.
He's asking for revenge on that?
Well, again, the Plishtim poked. Let's go through the story. He wants revenge because they poked out his eyes, and then they imprisoned him. It's interesting, but I think in general, we believe in hashgacha pratis. We believe that anything happens for a reason.
Right.
But still, if somebody does me wrong, the fact that God allowed him to do it doesn't make it any better in my eyes. So, let's take a look at some of the sources here. Obviously, this is a... We start with the Gemara, again, the Gemara in Sota. Vayikra Shim Ashor and El Hashem, Vayom Hashem Elokim, Zachreini no v'chazkeini no achap hamazah. He says, remember me this one time. Inokam nakam achas mishte einai miplishtim. Amarav Shimon lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribon Shalom zachor li esrim shana sheshafati et Yisrael v'omarti le'echad mehem, 20 years I've been the judge here. I've never even asked someone, please bring me my walking stick. And I've done this all for the community. I've never asked for anything in return. Why one eye? So Rashi comes, Nakam achas mishtei einai, schar achas meinu tenli bin nakama, zuv schar achas shalom haba. One eye that I got poked out, I want for that, to get even with these guys. The other eye, I'll save for Olam Haba.
You'll do what?
For the world to come. He'll say that, you know what? The fact that I suffered, let me get something there. How many people did he kill? So the Medrash and Bereishos, V'Kurishim, Z'Yisachi Ronu, Amr of Levi, K'siv, Al-Hagag, K'shoshas, Al-Rafim, Ilu Masha Hoya, Al-Svas Hagav, Avo Masha Hoya, L'Achareim, L'Achore Achareim, Ein Bir Yodas. How many people were behind the roof? How many people were behind the building? Nobody knows. We'll see in a moment that in fact, so if that's the case, if there are tens of thousands of dead people and he was under the pile, how did they ever find him to bury him? So it says that Yaakov specifically davened that they should be able to find him and that he should be able to be buried in the family grave. And he was?
With his
father. The Zohar is bothered by the same thing that Shlomo is bothered by. Yet another Kabbalistic case of this happening. Why was he punished? Well, obviously he had relations with a non-Jewish woman. That's an obvious answer. Kedusha bevas keil necha v'shavach asri deschazi d'ahi kedusha begin kachi nanish. So for the idea that he was involved with non-Jewish women, etc., he got punished. The isman the amar, but there's another opinion that says what? The lesle chukah bahu alma, that he doesn't have a chelik in olam haba even. Why not? My timer begin the amar Thomas nafshi im prishtim umasa chukah bechukah de prishtai the yamas nafshi imam bahu alma. It sounds like he says I'm going to go down with them. There are opinions here that say the reason that behind the Zohar is what? Because he committed suicide.
Well, Hashem gave him permission by giving him the strength.
I don't know if there's permission. He gave him the ability. The Arach Chaim also has this idea. Don Yadin Urai Ki Ritzach Amar Shimshon Thomas Nafshi Min Prishim Rozei Amar Yaakov Ki Yeshno Beged Im Shofte Yisrael Ham Yuchodim Lamara Be'en Hefresh V'lo Yigra Mitzadik Eino. So he says, even though he did it, Yaakov said that he will still be as great as any other shofet, despite the fact that he committed suicide. It's an interesting question. It deserves more than this. Maybe we'll discuss it at some point. But Japanese kamikaze fighters, right? For the sake of war, they killed themselves in order to take down many, many others, right? If I can ram my boat into your ship, right, then Japan loses one pilot, one plane,
right.
And the enemy loses much, much more.
9/11, if you crash the plane, assuming that all those people are going to die, so you don't run into the building. Same type of concept.
So... Well, no, that's different. We spoke about it, I think, Shavuos night, if I remember correctly. Well, again, there's a lot of reasons why that's different. But in that case, the person's dying one way or the other. Are we talking about, again, there's two, are we talking about crashing the plane or shooting down the plane?
Well, the kamikaze, they go up and they know they're not coming back.
Right.
But I guess shooting down would probably...
Right. So the question is, you know, are suicide missions allowed, encouraged? Right? It really could be anywhere on the spectrum. It could be absolutely, if you do it, you're the greatest person ever. If you do it, you lost your olam haba. Or it could also be someplace in between. We're not going to obligate you, but if you do it, it's fine. So again, that's what Shimshon is doing here. Right? He's not randomly taking his own life. He's taking tens of thousands with him. Right, so to the extent that we think that it's okay, that would seem to indicate that there is something about this that made it allowed. And that could very well be it. The fact that for the sake of war, there's a greater good here, and therefore it's okay. Finishing up, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayirdu Echa V'chol Beis Avihu V'yisu Oso V'yaru V'yikru Oso Ben Tzir Ben Eshtaol B'kever Manoach Aviv. And eventually, he gets taken out, he gets buried, and he was a judge for 20 years.
So what about that question about how they find him?
What? So again, that was the idea that there was... It's interesting. There are opinions that build on it. So look at the next source. The next source is a very problematic source. It's a Yerushalmi and Sota. Kosev Echad Omer V'ishbol Yisrael Arba Im Shana V'kosev Echad Omer Shafet Yisrael Esrim Shana. One place said he was a judge for 40 years, another place says he was a judge for 20 years. Amar Rabbi Acham Alamei Shoyu Aprishtim Yirei Mimenu Esrim Shana La'achar Moso K'del Shoyu Yirei Mimenu Esrim Shana B'chayev. For 20 years after he died, they were still scared of him.
They were?
Still scared of him. So the question is, why were they still scared of him? So one of the approaches is because they were able to take his body out and bury him, right? When the Plishtim couldn't find his body, they thought that he maybe survived. And therefore, they were always nervous he was going to come back. The problem in this Yerushalmi is that there is no pasuk that ever says he judged for 40 years.
It says 20 and 20,
right. It never says 40. And therefore, there's a question, well, what's going on here? Does this mean that the Yerushalmi had a different version of the Navi than we do? Should we perhaps change our version to match the Gemara's version? Because obviously they're a much earlier source, and the odds of theirs being correct is better than ours. So we have discussed this previously. In fact, I think we discussed it last year, the year before, Parshas Devarim, which has a case like this. But this I just pointed out as one of the very famous cases where it doesn't act the Gemara's version of the Tanakh and our Masoretic text are not the same. So that's the end of Shimshon, unfortunately. I don't remember him having children at all, no. Unfortunately not. What? We're going to have to wait till next week to find out, won't we now?
And if all the Plishtim he killed, he didn't get Goyas.
What?
All the Plishtim he killed.
It's Mishpacha. Okay. And at this point...
So why does he have to die according to this whole thing? If they've been holding this for 20 years...
What do you mean?
In theory, it should have been alive. It could have gone away.